Deliverer. Amen. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what you're facing, he's able to deliver again and again. Amen. If you don't believe that, just go back and read the account of the children of Israel. Through their sin, through their struggles, through the uncertainties they faced, he was always there to deliver them. Amen. And he'll be there to deliver us. Turn in your Bibles tonight into Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. And I'm thankful tonight for the service this morning, because it's good to know that beyond the veil is everything we need. If we can get past the veil of our doubts, the veil of our fears, that just the veil of this flesh that keeps us from seeing God for who he is and all that he is, if we can just get past that, we find that all the help that we need is right there. But it's good to know that when we come together, the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but even so much the more as you see the day approaching. So that means we need to be in church more instead of less. But it seems that most church members take that the other way around. And there's a reason for that. Because if you go back to the verse before 10:25 in Hebrews, it says, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works. We're here to help one another. Amen. Amen. That's our goal. That's our purpose. That's why we assemble in God's house. That's why we come together. We come together to worship God, but we come together to get help. And we get help when two or three gather in his name and he shows up. Amen. You don't get help from the preacher, you get help from the Lord. Amen. Amen. We just point each other to the Lord. We remind each other how good God is. Amen. Amen. It's important. And that's kind of what we want to preach about tonight. And I want you to see those around you. See those in your church. I have half a notion. Well, let's just do it. I'm going to do it. I like to do things and just get you off. Let's everybody move all the way up. I want to fill all the front pews on both sides. Move all the way up. I want you to get real close and personal to one another. Amen. Amen, brother. And keep an eye on this one behind me up here. Amen. We got a few folks sitting beside by themselves up here. Somebody needs to sit with them. Amen. There we go. Kit's still by herself. Somebody needs to come sit with them. Amen. Now, I want you to take a look on either side of you, in front of you and back of you. Just look around real good. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 24. The Apostle Paul says, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. I send him therefore the more carefully, that when ye see him again, ye may rejoice, and that I may be the less sorrowful. Receive ye him therefore in the Lord with all gladness, and hold such in reputation, because for the work of Christ he was nigh unto death, not regarding his life, to supply your lack of service toward me. Brother Ron Brooks, would you take us to the throne of grace? Amen. In chapter 4 and verse number 18, the Apostle Paul says, "But I have all and abound, I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory by Jesus Christ." Paul is rejoicing in one who came and one who succored him. That means somebody who came and helped him, strengthened him, and was around him when he needed help. Paul was in a bad situation. Paul was in prison, and Paul is dealing with, seems like sometimes when you read all that he's been through, maybe one of his most common places to be was in the local jailhouse somewhere, suffering for the cause of Christ. But Epaphroditus came and he brought an offering that was taken up by the Philippian church to minister to him and to minister to his needs. I don't know if it was all money, if it was food and clothing, raiment and everything else, what all exactly that it was that the offering entailed. But praise God, it was a blessing unto Paul. And Paul says it was a blessing unto him. And we need to take some lessons from this relationship here. If we could outline chapter number 2 of the book of Philippians, I think we could outline it as verses 1 to 4, service to others. In verses 5 to 11, service of Christ to mankind. In verses 12 to 18, service unto God. And in verses 19 to 23, the service of a faithful brother. And verses 24 to 30, service together. And in verse number 25, the Apostle Paul says something that I want to focus on here tonight, something that we need to grasp, something that when we look around us and we see those around us that we need to take heed to and be reminded of. We need to see others for who they are in our lives. Amen. Each one of us are in each other's lives for a purpose. There are no accidents. You're not here by accident. You're here on purpose. You're here because God has brought you here. You say, "Well, I decided this was where I was going to go tonight." You're here because God directed you to be here tonight. Amen. And God had it purpose for you to be here tonight. And I believe that. And when Epaphroditus came and he visited Paul, he decided to stay. Amen. Isn't it something when somebody comes as a messenger, amen, and gets so caught up in what you're going through and what you're dealing with that he stays to be a help? He stays to minister to you and to minister with you. And I tell you what, we could take a great lesson from Epaphroditus. In verse number 25, Paul says three things about Epaphroditus that I want to see and that I want you to grasp tonight when you look at your church family, when you look at other Christians, look at other churches. You know, we get wrapped up in our church sometimes, but it's not our church, it's God's church. Amen. And we're all a part of the church, and we need to grasp that, and we need to see that. He said, "Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus." Number one, he says, "My brother." I want you to see something. When you look around you tonight and you see born again, Bible believing, blood-bought Christians, you're looking at your family in Christ. Amen. We have a common relationship to one another. It's a relationship that has been made and that has been built upon Christ Jesus. Amen. It's not because of who we are and what we've done. Sometimes we want to look at our individualities, but we need to look more closely as we come together at our common relationship, our common tie to one another. It's in Christ Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse number 12, the Bible says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Aren't you glad tonight that we can belong to a brotherhood that is blood bought, a brotherhood that cost God's God so dearly everything that he had to offer that he might bring us into one body, into one family, into one being in him. Aren't you glad tonight that you can come to a place where there are brothers and sisters that look upon you? They know your affliction. They know your cares. They know your hurts. And sometimes your church family knows the things about you that other people in the world don't know. And praise God, they love you anyway. They care for you anyway. It's just like brothers and sisters. You might not always be the closest to your earthly family, your natural born family. Amen. But you still love them. Amen. I'm closer to most of y'all than I've been to my real family, my natural family, I should say. I know more about what's going on in your lives. I know more about what you're feeling and what you're struggling with and what you're dealing with than I do about my natural family. And praise God, I'm glad to have you in my life. You're an encouragement. You're a help. But you know what? My family, when there's something going on, I don't have a problem with picking up the phone and letting you know that they're there for you. Amen. They're there to help you. Romans tells us in chapter 8, verses 14 to 19, that because of Christ, we are heirs and joint heirs with Christ. Amen. Do you realize that person that you're sitting next to, that person that's in front of you and in back of you, those people around you are part of a family that is more important in your life, more needful in your life than anything else in this world? Amen. Apart from Christ. Amen. Where does the child of God draw their encouragement? I know Jesus will encourage us. The Spirit will speak to us. He'll minister to us. But who is it? Who is it that encourages you from day to day, from week to week, from service to service? It's the child of God that's a part of his family, that attends the same church that you do. That's why it's so important for us to come together. Man, we talk about, we have a family reunion. Man, the Mullinses used to run off and they go to a family reunion. Half the church would be gone. Amen. They wouldn't miss a family reunion. They was gone. And Brother Jim and Sister Mary and their family, they left last week. They went to a family reunion. Amen. Down in West Virginia. And man, that's great. You know, we get to have a family reunion every time the church doors are open. Amen. And we have a common thread. We have something, you know, there's a lot of things that my brothers and my sisters and I that are estranged from one another by distance, we don't have in common anymore. We got a common natural birth, a common relationship, but our lives are estranged from one another. But praise God, with my church family, amen, we all like to do the same things. We all like to worship the same way. We want to worship the same God, worship in the same place, and for the same purpose, to uplift and to glorify him. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for the family that we have. Galatians 3:26, we are all the children of God through faith in Christ. We have a family tie. I want you to grasp this. I want you to get this. We're not just church members, we're family. Amen. Amen. Man, mama is my mama. Amen. She might not be my natural born mama, but she's my mama. Amen. In Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse number 1, it says we call the elder men fathers and we call the younger men brothers. We call the elder women mothers and the younger women sisters. Amen. I'm glad I got a mama here. I'm glad I've got brothers and sisters here. I'm glad I've got spiritual aunts and uncles here. Whatever it is that you want to be and whatever it is that you view yourself in my life. But I'm thankful to God for each and every one of you. Paul was thankful for Epaphroditus because he was his brother. Amen. And you know, if we'd start being thankful, more thankful, and I'm not saying we're done, but if we'd start looking at one another and being more thankful for everyone that God has placed in our life and God has placed in our church, we'd see them a whole lot different. Amen. I want you to see them for who they are in Christ. They are your family. And our family tree is rooted in none other but Christ Jesus. I can trace my family tree back, my natural family tree. I've had a cousin. We've traced our ancestry back on my father's side all the way back into the 1300s in Germany. That's amazing. Amen. I don't have to go too many generations. We're getting ready to go here in a few weeks on vacation. I'm taking my children down to see where my grandparents are buried. My grandfather and my grandmother were both born in the 1860s. Not my great-grandparents, not my great-great-grandparents, my grandmother and my grandfather. Amen. That's amazing to me. Amen. My dad was born in 1900. Amen. I find that absolutely amazing. I was a late-in-life baby. Amen. He was an old man when I was a surprise. Amen. And you think I surprised him. 18 months later, he got another surprise. Amen. But our heritage, we want to know where we come from. We want to know what we belong to and who we belong to. On my mother's side, I've got a grandfather that was a part of the Seneca Nation. And then we have an old picture of him with his hair all long. And they have pictures of him somewhere. I've never seen him of his hair plaited and braided. He was an Indian, Native American, whatever you want to call him. Amen. But that's my heritage in my natural body. But what's much more important, what's much more exciting, is that I've got a godly heritage that's rooted and grounded in Christ Jesus. And I get to share it with each and every one of you every time that we get together. I get encouraged in my family. Amen. I get encouraged by what we do with one another. We have a common relationship. He said, he's my brother. But then look at what he said after that. And companion in labor. We have a common service. We're all here for the same reason. We're all here for the same purpose. It's not about Dennis. It's not about John. It's not about Billy. It's not about Steve. And it's not about Sherry and Carlina and Stanley and Reba and Connie or Charles or any of the rest of you. It's not about us. We're here because we have a common service, and that common service is unto Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul says, in companion in labor. I can pick the phone up, and sometimes I might have to call two or three of you to find one available. But like I said, we got something. I need some help down at the church. Can you come? Or I can say, hey, there's something that needs to be done at the church. Can you take care of it? And it gets done. Amen. I can call and say, hey, I need you to go visit somebody. You know, some people, they, you know, join the church one day and the next day they just ignore the pastor's phone calls. But, you know, I mean, pick that up. Nah. But I can ask, and you'll be there. I can ask, and you'll go without hesitation. I can ask, and I don't have to worry. I can ask if you'll go with me. I've called and asked people to go with me, and they went. We have a common service. We labor together. Look at what the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 16. Paul begins to acknowledge some of the co-laborers. Most of his epistles, he tells of some of the folks that are there helping him, some of his co-laborers. And in chapter 16, Paul acknowledges Aquila and Priscilla and Timothy as his fellow laborers. Paul, as he writes the letter to Philemon, as Onesimus is going back. The runaway slave is being returned unto his owner, his master, and he's carrying the letter that Paul has given him. He acknowledges that Philemon is his fellow worker. And all throughout Paul's epistles, as he writes them and as he comes to the conclusion of them, he begins to tell about the people who are there with him. Why are they there with him? Because they all are part of the common service. They're all there for the same reason. Some were in prison with him for the same reason he was in prison, for the cause of Christ. Amen. Some were in prison with him just to be there to comfort him and to be an encouragement and a help to him. You know something? When you're laboring and you're laboring for the Lord, sometimes there are going to be times when you're overwhelmed. Sometimes there are going to be times when you're put upon. Sometimes there are going to be times when it just ain't so sweet to be serving in the army of the Lord. Praise God. Aren't you glad that there are people who can come around you and they can help you? When David, one of his last battles, as he was out and he was fighting one of the giants, the Bible said that this giant that he was fighting was about ready to overcome him, and one of his soldiers come and they succored David. In other words, they strengthened him. They helped him. Amen. Why? Because they had a common service. Amen. A common goal. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 9, the Apostle Paul doesn't list individuals, but he's writing to the Corinthian church. He's writing to the church a letter that will resound through the ages. It's still relevant to us today. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. You're God's building. Paul writes to remind him whose we are and who it is that we're serving. You're God's. Amen. You don't serve the pastor, you're serving God. Amen. You don't serve Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church, you're serving God. Amen. You don't serve some denomination or some religion. You're serving God. And we need to realize today that when we come together and when we come together to serve, it's not about us, but it's all about Him.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And make sure that we keep our focus on who it is that we're working for. See, when we start thinking about me and thinking it's about me, we're setting ourselves up for failure. Amen?
Amen.
Because I got news for you. I don't care how good you are. And there's a lot of people in the ministry, a lot of people that are serving in churches, a lot of people that are working in churches, and they're doing it for the wrong reason. Many are legacy builders. Many are attention seekers. Many have lost the focus of who it is that they're to be doing the work for.
Amen.
We are God's. We've been bought with a price, a very high price. We're not our own. We are His to serve Him. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's. You're His husbandry. In other words, you're His field. You're His labor. And you're His building. You're His church. It's all His.
Amen.
Amen. And I work for Him. You know, the problem, I worked for Amtrak for several years, and Steve can tell you, one of the biggest problems with Amtrak is so large, and there are so many departments. It's almost like you got 10 separate companies working within a company. And this department wants to fight with this department. And this department doesn't want to support this department. And when you got some 35,000 employees and they're all focused on the wrong thing, which is their own particular need and their own particular craft or their own particular sphere of expertise, it's easy to lose picture of what you're there for. Amen? It's easy for a church to lose its focus when we forget whose we are. When we forget why we're doing what we're doing. Amen? We got to look around us and we got to see one another. Man, they're in this together. Mama's right in this with me. Amen? She's right here to serve with me. I can ask Mama to do something and she'll do it. Mama can ask me to do something. If I can do it, I'm going to do it. Amen? Why? Because we're serving the same purpose. Sometimes we need to change things up. Sometimes things need to change around. Sometimes you need to see things a little bit different. Amen? Why is that? Because we want to be used effectively. Amen? In the service that God has intended for us. Sometimes things don't always stay the same. But the focus needs to remain the same. Amen? That's what you need to remember. Everybody's here to serve. And we serve together. We have a common service. And that service is to Jesus Christ. And then look at what he said last. He says, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier. I don't know if you realize this, but when you got birthed into the family of God, you got birthed into the army of God. Right. Amen. Amen. My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Amen. He owns the hills that they stand on. He owns the world that the hills were created from. He owns the space in which they're hung. In other words, my father has endless means, has endless resources. But that doesn't exclude us from the struggle of life that we face. We have a common relationship. We have a common service. And we're in a common conflict. There's not a single life here that isn't affected by sin, by conflict on every hand and every day. There's not a family here that can tell me that somewhere in their family they haven't been touched by drugs. Can anybody say that? I don't think so. There's not a family here that can't tell me that somewhere in their family they're not affected by homosexuality. There's not a family here that can tell me that somewhere in their family they're affected by the most adverse things that you could ever imagine. Pedophilia. Sin. I'm talking about sin as we see sin. There's not a family here that's not touched. We're all in the same conflict. We're all standing against the same thing. And it's hard to stand. Moms and dads have a hard time standing when their sons and daughters comes and says, Mom, Dad, I'm coming out of the closet. It's a hard pill to swallow. When your unwed daughter comes and looks at you and says, Mom, Dad, I'm pregnant. When your son or your daughter comes to you and says, Mom, Dad, I'm addicted. Mom, Dad, I've done whatever you want to put there. Whatever has floored you, whatever has driven you to your knees, and you understand you're in a battle. When the doctor comes and looks at you and says, Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so, I've got bad news. Your loved one's not going to make it. I've got bad news. You've got cancer and it's terminal. Found out after service this morning. My nephew, he's a year younger than I am, called my brother David. Told him he has bladder cancer. Just getting ready to retire and move from Oklahoma back to Arizona, where they had done, started making all these plans, and we don't know how it's going to turn out. We're in the same conflict. We're struggling with sin and the results of sin. Just like I told you this morning, all these things are the result of sin. All these things can discourage you. All these things can make you want to throw up the white flag and say, I surrender. But what keeps you going? What keeps you on the battlefield? What keeps you in the conflict? It's the fellow soldier. It's the other one that's in the same common conflict with you. You know that they know what you're dealing with. You know that they know what you're going through. They're suffering just like you. During the Korean War, as American forces got close to the Chosin Reservoir, to the Yalu River in North Korea, and were right at the China border. And they thought that they had taken this conflict and put it to rest, and it was over, and pretty soon it was going to be done. And before they knew it, hundreds and hundreds and thousands of Chinese soldiers poured across the border, and they had to fight their way back down the peninsula, fight their way back in some of the most adverse conditions that ever could be imagined. And I've talked to some of those soldiers that told me men just had frostbite in limbs, would just freeze off, that men would sleep two or three in a sleeping bag together, so their bodies could help to warm them up together, because they couldn't get supplies to them. There was no way to help them to gain the retreat that they needed. But the thing that kept them going on, the thing that kept them fighting, the thing that kept them from not just totally giving up, was they could look around them and see their fellow soldiers were going through the same thing that they were suffering just like they were in the same conflict that they are. I want you to know something. The same conflict that I face as a pastor, I'm glad that I can look around and know that you, as the members of Charlestown Missionary Baptist Church, understand the conflict, and they're there beside me. Sometimes I want to quit. Sometimes I want to give up, but I can look around and say, man, this one isn't giving up, and that one isn't giving up, and this one hasn't given in, and that one hasn't given in. It's not time to quit. It's time to just intensify and increase our zeal and increase the battle and take the conflict to the enemy.
Amen.
Amen. Now, sometimes a good retreat is better than a poor stand. Ask General Custer. Amen. But friends, we don't have to worry. Sometimes we need to back down a little bit. But we don't have to quit. Sometimes the conflict coming to us is more intense than we had anticipated. And we have to back up and regroup. But that's what prayer is all about. That's what coming into the war room. They made that movie, The War Room. That woman talking about her closet's the war room. Let me tell you what, this is a war room right here.
That's right.
Amen. It's a war room to prepare you for the conflict. It's a hospital.
Amen.
I've heard preachers say, well, the church house isn't a hospital. Yes, it is.
Right.
Amen. Let me tell you what, on every American warship, somewhere on that warship, guess what is in the midst of it, down in the bowels of it somewhere. A hospital. I don't care how small it is. It has a doctor, a corpsman, at least a corpsman, on board. There's a hospital on board the warship. And I want you to know something. The old ship of Zion has a place for the healing of the soldiers of the cross that have been wounded in the battle.
Amen.
Amen. We're in a common conflict because we're in a common battle that is raging throughout history. It's raging throughout the ages. It started back in eternity when Satan rebelled against God, and he rebelled against heaven, and he rebelled against all that was holy, and he set up a conflict and sought to destroy all that God had created, and God wouldn't let him. And if he wouldn't let him destroy everything then, do you think he's going to forsake you now? Not for a minute. He'll make provision for you. We have a common brotherhood that unites us in Christ Jesus. We have a common service that draws us together for the same purpose. And we're in the common conflict that reminds us that we're there to strengthen. Epaphroditus came. And he encouraged the Apostle Paul. Epaphroditus came. And when he seen that Paul was in a great conflict, Paul was in a great struggle, he didn't abandon Paul and he didn't run off. He dug into the trenches alongside him and he stayed. And the Bible says that he stayed to the point. He served to the point. He fought to the point. He was there, a soldier of the cross, to the point that he was nigh unto death.
Amen.
The Apostle Paul said, "It would have sorrowed me much to have lost him. But I'm sending him back so he can be an encouragement to you. I'm sending him back that he might be a help to you." Paul tells the apostle, or the young preacher Timothy rather, in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 1, he starts, he says, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Aren't you glad there's strength in him?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that we don't have to worry about our intestinal fortitude? All we got to do is search heaven and seek heaven and seek his face, and we'll get that spiritual fortitude that we stand in need of. "Therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." Verse number 3, he says, endure hardness. Man, there's hardnesses that are going to come. Sometimes we endure hardness because we're Christians.
Amen.
Mocked and ridiculed and despised. And it seems like the more that the world goes on and the more that things are happening in our own country, to be a Christian is to be one of the most despised people in the world. I told you, I worked with a guy that didn't like Christians just because they were Christians. If people were Christians, he just didn't like them just for the simple fact that they were a Christian. Ridiculed, mocked, made fun of. We think that's hard. But think about the people in China who are being arrested. They're being gathered up in mass and arrested just for serving Christ, just for being a Christian. Think about the people in the Muslim world, the people that some of these missionaries that we support are dealing with as they try to point Muslims to Christ. And these people risk losing everything, including their lives, just for becoming a Christian. You see it on the internet all the time about in Somalia and different places, how churches are being attacked on Sundays and during their church meetings, and they're coming in and they're killing the whole congregation, burning the church down with all the people inside. He never said it was going to be easy, but he said it would be worth it. He said there comes times when we have to endure hardness. That's what soldiers do. Soldiers who face extreme temperatures, extreme situations, extreme circumstances. He said, endure hardness. Man, don't quit when it gets hard. What's that old saying? When the going gets tough, the tough get going.
Right.
Amen. That's the way God's people need to be. Quit letting our circumstances dictate our service as a soldier of the cross. Verse number 4, he says, we have a singleness of purpose. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. We all have families, and we all have possessions and things that we need to take care of, but we need to be sure that we don't allow these things to keep us from doing what Christ wants us to do. Amen? He said you can't be a soldier and be focused on something else. What happens? A soldier that isn't vigilant winds up getting himself killed. A soldier that's thinking about everything about but what's at hand puts himself and those around him at danger. Amen?
Amen.
With singleness of mind, remember who it is that we're serving, who it is that we're fighting for. In verse 5 it says, and if any man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. According to God's word. We can't do it our way. We got to do it His way.
Amen.
Amen. Paul said, I'm thankful for Epaphroditus. Epaphroditus was a blessing in Paul's life. Look around you tonight, church. The greatest blessings in your life are going to be these people sitting around you. Why? Because you have a common relationship. You have a common service. And you're in a common conflict. Amen? Other people don't understand what you're going through. The most important place for you to be is where you are right now. And I know sometimes I preach this message and I preach these messages and I'm preaching to the choir. But if the choir doesn't get encouraged to keep on going, the choir's going to dwindle. Amen? The choir's going to fall apart. Seeing one another for who we are in Christ is important. Dearest folks to my heart, apart from my children and my wife, I need to say that, are the folks that are sitting right here. You mean the world to me, and I love you all. You're my brothers and sisters, my faithful few that serve, the faithful soldiers that are willing to keep going on when everybody else is looking for an easy time. Why don't people come back to church on Sunday night? Too much trouble. Not worth the aggravation. I need you. I hope you need me.
Amen.
Because I'm dependent on you. And I hope you know you can depend on me and feel you can depend on me. I want you to see all these around you for who Paul said they were. Altar's open if you need to come. I love you each and every one. And I see you all just like Paul seen Epaphroditus. And I tell you, it's a good for a church to come. The Bible says there in Psalms that it's good for brethren to dwell together in unity.
Amen.
Amen. And there's no discord. There's no problems going on. I just wanted to encourage you in one another, to be encouraged in one another. That you let God use you to his fullest potential. Not to your fullest potential. If he uses you to your fullest potential, if your potential is anything like mine, it's going to come up way short. But if he uses you to his fullest potential, you'll see him do things through you. And because you're willing to yield yourself. If there therefore be any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill you my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Let's lift one another up. Encourage one another. Help one another. And we got a lot to go through together.
Amen.
Altar's open tonight if you need to come.